Okay, for all my podcast listeners, this is the woman who I've talked about numerous times from Louisiana, who had suffered probably since you were age 14 or 15.
Two or three,
but I mean like with the drugs and alcohol and all that, 14 and 15 years old. Her name is Jennifer, and she's going to give you her testimony. She and I started working together October 2015, and now is October 2017, so she's going to give you her testimony.
Okay.
So, my life didn't start out that great. My mother and father were married. We lived in Florida. I'm going to make this, it's a very long story. I'll make it as short as I can. Okay. By the time I was three, the woman who introduced my mother and father, my mom came home with me from visiting my grandmother, and we found him in bed with her. So we left. And my father didn't want to be a father. So basically, my mother raised me chasing him, trying to get him to be a father to me. He never would. When I was, I think, 14 years old, he met and married another woman. I was 9 years old. He met and married another woman. By the time I was 14, I had a new brother and sister. He loved them. He raised them, gave them everything I ever wanted. I never had that. So that's, I think, where my rejection and hate, self-hatred came in and started. Of course, everybody knows the logic. It set me up for wanting attention from men, which opened me up to all kinds of sexual abuse that started way back at age seven, eight years old, from several different males. And I thought it was the norm. And I was accused by my own mother of liking it because I liked the attention. She even told me that I was a liar, that I wanted the attention. And I'm not angry at my mother anymore. It took many years to forgive her. She did the best she could with what she had. But all these years of suppression, all these years of abuse, and all of these years of self-loathing led me to alcohol. My biological father was an alcoholic. It runs in my family, my cousins, my uncles, my grandfather. So I just thought that I was predisposed to it, and I fell right into it. It helped numb things. I started having children very young. I was 19 with my first child. By the time he was 2 years old, my mother and my ex-husband teamed up and took him from me. I wasn't able to raise him. 2 years later, I had my second son. And then 2 years after that, I had my first daughter who passed away. 2 years after that, I had my second daughter, and I raised my two kids in and out of marriages and relationships, trying to hold a family together, thinking that I needed mommy and daddy for my children because I didn't have it. So I projected that and did all kinds of damage to my children, thinking that I was trying to do the right thing, holding marriages together for them, all the while drinking and trying to keep things going. Struggled, tried to go to God, hated God because he wouldn't help me, hated the church even more because they judged me, told me I was a bad person, and everything that I did, you know, I brought on myself. And long story short, finally, after my children were old enough to live on their own, and I was no longer responsible for them, I went further downhill after my last divorce, four divorces later. I almost killed myself with alcohol. Met Angela. When they say that it gets better before it gets worse, that's an understatement. It gets worse before it gets better. You're right. Sorry, I said it wrong. It gets worse before it gets better because I met Angela and things got 10,000 times worse. Because, like I was just discussing with you, everything presents itself and says, ooh, ooh, help me, help me. Everything came out. To me, it felt like it didn't happen fast enough, but once I quit looking for it, the shift happened. And I was healed completely by April of 2016. My shift happened spontaneously in my mother's kitchen. And Angela wasn't even there for me. She was there for my mother. And I said, hey, Angela, while you're here, I'd just like a raindrop just for relaxation. Wasn't even thinking of anything. In that exact moment, I was healed and forgave my father, fell in love with my father after hating him. Spontaneously.
That's right.
At that moment, I hated the man. Couldn't even call him daddy. Called him by his first name. that man, or Dana, you know. Now he's daddy, and I love him for what he did for me. I thank God that he rejected me every day, because it has made me the person that I am today. It has made me learn that he did all of these things on this earth, my father did, in order for me to stand up and know Jesus, in order for me to stand up and know what true love is. And now I'm rambling, but now I am. There's no way to express this. When I say I'm happier than I've ever been my entire life, there's no way to express that. That is an understatement. I cannot express the true meaning of real happiness that I can see now. Things are happening to me every day that I never thought would happen. I'm actually manifesting my life. I'm building my life in my heart, and it's coming to me. Things are being handed to me.
You mean goodness and mercy are chasing you down?
Chasing me down.
And overtaking you?
Overtaking me. Shoving itself into my hands. Isn't this what you wanted? Didn't you want to be this close to your children? Oh, you're moving there now? Somebody's giving you a house? What? Everything that I prayed for and begged for and cried for and fell on my face for and desperately, thank you, desperately needed is coming to me in droves. And all I want to do is reach out and hold other people. This time last year, I was doing everything, not this time last year, but a couple, you know, year and a half ago. I was doing everything I can to find the career that I could work and support myself, make money, make a retirement, you know, maybe be a good grandmama, have lots of money, but do it in a way without looking at people. I didn't want to be around people. I wanted to find a career that I could be away from people. Now all I want is to be with people and help people that hurt like I do. Help the people that are lost and thinking that they are the problem and thinking that they're not loved and that they're alone on this earth. That's what I want to do. And now I'm enrolled in school. I'm in this wonderful school. It's an integrative nutrition school. It teaches that your primary foods are your relationships, your spirituality, in that your primary foods are love, your career, relationships, spirituality. What you put in your mouth is secondary. I've struggled with weight forever. I quit struggling. I've accepted myself the way that I am. I also know that environmentally, once my environment changes, the weight will be falling off, because I've been in an environment where all I do is sit all the time. Now I'm opening myself up to where I'll be walking consistently. It's going to come off. And I'm not even worried about it anymore. And I think that now that I've accepted things, I think that that's why it's slowly coming off. So that's about it.
Will you tell the story where the government knocked on your door and offered to pay you for something you'd already been doing when you didn't have any income?
Yeah, that was very interesting. When I landed here, I like to say that I lost everything, because I did. I lost everything so that I could find everything. When I got here 3 years ago on my mother's doorstep, I was a drunken, stupid mess. Didn't have anything. They gave me a camper to live in on the property. I started taking care of my little brother. He's 35 years old. He's autistic. He's Down syndrome, nonverbal. His name's Monty. I started helping them take care of Monty. Well, there's a government subsidized company here that hires people to take care of people with disabilities. And they were having a hard time getting people out to where my mother lived. She lives in Talisheek, which is 25 miles from everything. So it's hard for people to travel 25 miles, you know, for a small salary to take care of somebody. So I was already there on the property all day, every day, taking care of my little brother. Well, this company shows up and they said, hey, how about we just start paying you to do what you're doing every day? Would that be okay if we give you a paycheck and sign you up? And I'm like, really?
Can't drive, has no way to go get a job.
That's right.
Where does any government entity just show up and say, hey, let me pay you for what you're doing?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, hey, come, you need to give us what you're making.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And the reason why I couldn't drive, I should add this, is, you know, I was alcoholic. I was leaning on alcohol to numb everything. On March 18th of 2016, my car ran out of gas. I had just gone to the store. I'd got tons of groceries and alcohol because I was drinking. I was in a no cell zone, couldn't call anybody or anything, stuck on the side of the road, car ran out of gas. So I started drinking, drank myself into a stupid stupor, sitting there on the side of the road. Sheriff department shows up and gives me a DUI. best thing that ever happened to me. Ever happened to me in my whole life. I've never even had a ticket. I'm such a rule follower. But the sheriff's department arrested me, took me to jail. I received a DUI, had to go through all the hoops, lost my license for a year and a half, almost 2 years. Couldn't drive, lived 30 miles from everything. So couldn't go get a job, couldn't even go to the store if I wanted to. These are all the best things that ever happened to me.
And you called me at that time and said, what do I have to live for now?
Exactly.
I'm ready to die. She was so super suicidal.
I just want to go to sleep and never wake up again. Mm-hmm. Never wake up again.
And at that time, you were still had fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia, pain, yes.
And bone spurs, correct?
Endometriosis, fibromyalgia, PTSD. I've been diagnosed with clinical depression.
Oh, bipolar.
I was bipolar, yeah. Disorder, everything, everything. Mm-hmm. I've got spinal disorder, arthritis, all of these diagnoses are in my medical record. I was on every medication under the sun, plus drinking, trying to help it all go away. None of it worked. It all made it worse. When I spontaneously healed that day in my mother's kitchen, within a couple of weeks, I was off all my medications. All of them.
So tell the listeners what happened that day in your kitchen.
What happened that day in the kitchen is Angela was giving me a raindrop, and she decided to start speaking to me about my dad because she knew that was the root of everything that had happened. She told me to think of a love song, and then she said, matter of fact, let me do this. She put a song on. I can't tell you what the song was. It was a love song. She said, it's a man singing to a woman, but I want you to imagine that this is Jesus singing to you. And I started doing that, and I was like, oh, this is so nice. And I could hear the words, and Jesus was looking into my eyes, singing a love story to me. And then she said, now I want you to picture your father, your daddy, doing the same thing. And I want you to see your daddy as before he came to earth, as a little light on God's lap, talking to God and telling God, Father, I want to know your heart. I want to know what it is to love with the capacity that you do. She said, picture God looking into your father's eyes as a little light on his lap and saying, well, son, you can know me, but you'll have to go to earth and you'll have to know all the pain, all the heartache, and all the love that I've known. All the horror goes with it, too. And he says, I can do that. I can do that. I'll do that if that means knowing you. He says, okay, then I have a special assignment for you. You're going to have a little girl, and this is what I want you to do. She's going to need to know me like you want to know me. So I'm going to send you there, and you are going to abandon her. You're going to walk away from her. You are not going to be the father that she needs. You're going to leave her. You're going to make her feel like she's not worthy of love. This is your assignment. And afterwards, you'll know what it means to be like me, because you'll learn my heart. And I pictured my dad agreeing and coming down and doing everything that he said that he was going to do. And him looking at me saying, I did all this because I love you and I wanted you to understand what true love is. And I spontaneously healed at that moment. I saw my daddy. I saw him. I forgave him. He told me how much he was in love with me, how he's always loved me, and that how Jesus has never abandoned me. Jesus was always there with me. And somehow it just shifted in that moment. I fell in love with my dad.
Do you remember that the realization that if you had not suffered the rejection of a father and feeling abandoned, that you wouldn't know what Jesus felt on the cross?
That's exactly what I realized.
Yeah.
And what Jesus felt and how people rejected him and how he never belonged anywhere. He was in public, people spitting on him, people hating him. He never felt like he belonged. Look at his family.
Right.
And so that wasn't his daddy. That was his mommy, but it wasn't his daddy.
Because you got to feel what Jesus felt.
Exactly.
You drank from his cup and you ate his broken bread in remembrance of him.
Absolutely.
Rather than in remembrance of yourself only.
Absolutely.
And that's, he said, if you'll
his eyes.
If you'll do that, you'll live.
And I'm alive.
You'll resurrect. And you're alive.
I'm alive.
So yeah, this is real. But again, I want to reiterate the very last part of this is when people start healing, it's not easy at first.
No.
No. But it was never easy all those years to begin with, mm-mm. Was it?
No.
It was completely hard the whole time.
Yes.
And so now, would you look back, would you say, I would do it all over again?
Yes, I would.
You mean
yes.
You don't count it robbery to be equal with Jesus?
No, yeah. No, no.
Oh my gosh, this no. is like the greatest, this is one of the greatest testimonies.
I love it.
Thank you so much. I love you. Have to
thank you. Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.